All right, children, come join me. How's everybody today?
Good.
Well, happy Resurrection Day to all of you. It's good to see you today. All right, I've got something. Now, I'm going to reach in my pocket here. Now, I'm getting something out of my pocket, okay? Okay, I'm getting something out of my pocket. All right, now. All right, now. Do you really believe I've got something in my hand?
No.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who believes I have something in my hand?
You do.
Who really doesn't know one way or the other? Okay. And then who thinks I'm just trying to pull one over on you again? Okay. Oh, man, look at all of this. Oh, ye of little faith. Okay, so y'all fit into three categories. You got some of you that know I've got something in my hand. You really believe that. Some of you are still checking it out. And some of you think I'm just fooling with you again. Well, here you go. Who really believed that I had something in my hand? Here you go. You can have it. A nice, shiny new penny. All yours, Elisha. All yours. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Let me read you this story, okay? That's about three categories of people. Listen closely. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had already been rolled away. What stone was that? Yeah, right. That's right. The stone in front of his tomb. So she ran, and she came to Simon Peter. Now remember the names, Mary, Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Does anybody know who that was? Who?
John.
John, that's right. John was called the Beloved. And said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. So here's our first person, Mary Magdalene. She doesn't believe Jesus has risen from the dead. She's expecting to find a dead body. Okay? So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were coming to go to the tomb, and the two were running together. And the other disciple ran faster than Peter. And who's the other disciple, we said?
John.
That's right. And came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Now the linen wrappings he's talking about were the wrappings that were around Jesus' body. And so Simon Peter also came and he followed him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which was on his head, not lying with the other linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now here's the picture. It's like Jesus just came out of those wrappings. They were laying there perfectly. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb, who was the other disciple? John the Beloved. He saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that the dead must rise. So the disciples went away and went to their own home. So in the story, here's Peter. Peter's checking it out. Mary, she's just looking for a dead body. But John, he believed. Now eventually, in a matter of hours, all three of them are going to believe because they're going to see the risen Lord Jesus. As we think about Jesus rising from the dead today, which person are you? Are you still checking it out?
Or do you think, well, I don't know, he's dead body, he's dead and gone. Or do you think that Jesus really did rise from the dead? Which one, Elisha? That's right. Me too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these children. I thank you that you speak to us and you speak to us, Lord, as your children. Let us hear, let us understand. Lord, we bless you on this, the celebration of your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All righty. Y'all can go to Kid Zone. And happy Resurrection Day to you. I didn't point it out publicly last week, but we're so glad that High Chief made it back in one piece. And next Sunday, he's going to share a few minutes here with us about his trip, and we're looking forward to that. He went to Nigeria and was checking on all the work that is going on there. It's Resurrection Sunday, and today we're going to investigate it together. We're going to look at it. I'm going to pose five questions to you today about the resurrection. Now, I encourage you to do something. If you have some time, just put type in Google Resurrection of Jesus Christ and then chase them down. Man, you'll have stuff all over the board there. I spent hours the last 2 weeks, many hours, listening to people, not just reading their work, but actually listening to these guys, especially a lot of people that I violently disagree with. In fact, some that would say that Jesus never even existed, that he was just a figment of our imagination. But I encourage you, pray before you go there. Just if you're living in that bubble and you think that, oh, we live in America and everybody believes in the resurrection of Jesus. Not so. Now, our key scripture for today comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Hear this from the New Century Version. I want to know Christ and the power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. Here's Paul talking about the resurrection in practical terms, not some idealistic religious truth that's out here that, yeah, we just kind of shake our heads and go along with it. But what does it mean in your everyday life? Now, we're going to answer that question today by looking at five questions, these five questions you have there. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's not a subject that can be ignored. As I've always said to you, you need to just go out on the internet, do a little investigation. There's a lot of for, a lot of against. But either it's true or it's not. It's kind of like being pregnant. There's no such thing as being almost or halfway. You either are or you're not. So when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, either he rose from the dead, it really is true, or he didn't. Up to you to decide. Now it's for you. Why are you here today? My dad, I'm very glad you're here. I'm very glad you're here. We're glad to see you. There are many reasons that people give for being present at church. But I want to let you know today, God has brought you here. It was at his invitation, by his sovereignty, that you've come here today. It's not an accident. God set this up just for you. Personally, this moment in time, this exact
place on the calendar and on the clock. I want you to hear today, with great attention, the most fantastic, the most outlandish, the most unbelievable, the most awe-inspiring story that has ever been told. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here are the five questions we're going to look at today. Is it true? What does it mean? Why should I believe it? If I believe it, what's His plan for me? And then finally, what should I do? All right, let's go. Is it true? Paul uses a whole chapter in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, to talk about the resurrection. That whole chapter is a defense, is a promoting of the resurrection of Jesus, called the resurrection chapter in Scripture. I encourage you to read it. It's very simple. The evidence is there. But let me put together some evidence for you, coming from that chapter, from the Gospels, from the story. Here you go. We have eyewitnesses on the scene during that time that actually saw Jesus dead and then saw Jesus alive. Many, many eyewitnesses saw Him. Mary Magdalene saw Him at the tomb. At first, she thought He was a gardener. A group of women that were with her saw Him at the tomb. Later on Sunday, Cleopas and that other disciple, the story is told in Luke, on the road to Emmaus, they saw Jesus, spent a lot of time with Him. Peter saw Him. John saw Him. 10 of His disciples saw Him in the upper room. 11 of His disciples saw Him a week later. 7 of His disciples were with Him one morning fishing on the Sea of Galilee. You know, Jesus was into fish fries. 11 of His disciples saw Him on a mountain in Galilee. 500 disciples saw Him at one time. James saw Him. A very large group, we don't know how many, saw Him ascend into heaven. Now, wrap your mind around that. Paul saw Him on the Damascus Road. And then, this category of show me the body evidence, all the people of that day, the religious leaders that had been after Him, that had been plotting against Him since His public ministry started from the very beginning. You think about it. He was wrangling with these guys probably 3.5 years. They were setting traps for Him every place that He went. We have times where the crowds would be in an uproar and Jesus would just kind of disappear into the crowd. He would just go away. They had people, they had plants there. Every time He spoke, there was someone there, one of these religious leaders there, with a testing type question to try to get at Him. Again and again and again. Well, these people definitely had a vested interest in making sure that Jesus was dead and that He stayed dead. Got the picture? The Romans were the same way. Yeah, here's Pontius Pilate, this soldier who became a governor. And Mrs. Pilate, she tells him the truth, you know. Hey, you know, I've had this dream, man. You don't need to mess with it. You got to find a way to release this guy. He thought he had a way out, and it didn't work out. The Romans wanted Him dead. All the skeptics wanted Him
dead. Now think about it. Just be logical with me. These were the best and the brightest in that part of the world. All they had to do to quell this whole Jesus movement was produce a dead body. Let that sink in just for a moment. That's all they had to do. Produce a dead body. But instead, what do we have? We have source after source after source that tells the tale. And by the way, on the internet, they tell you that I was reading several of these guys. I mean, these guys are Phi Beta Kappas. They're PhDs. And they're telling me these sources don't exist. And I'm saying, brother, I am reading it myself. I'm reading the translation. Sometimes I'm reading it in the original language. And I'm telling you, that source exists. And this is what it says. So don't lie about it. Well, that's the old politician trick, isn't it? Not that we have any politicians in our country that ever tell any lies. Boom. Where's the drummer when you need him? All they had to do was produce the dead body. But what's their response? You know, they posted the two guards there at the tomb. They put him in the tomb. We're probably talking about a tomb. We're not going to get into the tomb, which one you go for, but where it is. But this is probably what it was. It is in a cave, like, and it has a stone that is on a track there, and you just roll it in front of it. They did that, and they put a seal on it. Just like they used to put a seal on a letter with wax, put a stamp on it. They put a seal on it. They posted guards there. Because they wanted, they'd already heard this story about, you know, he's going to rise again. And, what are we going to do about that, you know? They're going to steal his body and say he rose from the dead. The soldiers that were stationed there, you wonder, did they ever become Christians? Because they actually got to see the risen Lord Jesus. I've often wondered what happened with them. They saw it. Well, so what do the authorities do with them? They dare them to say anything. They threaten them, and they pay them off. Are things any different today? The fix was on. But see, the problem is the fix wasn't working. Because instead of a dead body, what do you got? You got a live body that's going around having fish fries. That's revealing himself to 500 people at a time. And it's going viral. Now, is the story true? Well, one of the ways we've seen the story be true is that we see that millions, billions of lives have been changed by this man personally. Not a religion, but a personal experience every day. Oh, we could wax eloquent on that a long time. But here's the truth personally. He's here right now. The risen Lord. Many of you, when you came in here today, you sense something. Something deep within you bore witness. I'm experiencing a touch in my soul. That something is the Lord Jesus Himself. He's very personal. He's been speaking to you all your life. You go back and you look at those times, you look at your story. And you see where He's plucked you. He saved you. He's moved you over here. Think of Lindy Moore and I sitting in that little broke-down camper of his daddy down at Yellow Bluff We'd been busting shells all day. I don't know how many boxes of 22 shells we'd gone through that day. Had us a steak that night. We grilled on an open fire, and when we got in there about to bed down, we're cleaning our rifles, and he's sitting right across from me, and all of a sudden, his rifle goes off. About that far from my shoulder, he's sitting right across from me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, second question. What does it mean? Well, the story means that the risen Jesus has power. He has power over sin and death. Has power over sin. He died on the cross to pay for our sin. The sin that we committed. He died in our place. It should have been us dying on the cross. Somebody has to pay the price because there's going to be no sin in heaven. So for us to get into heaven, something has to happen to our sin if we're going to be with the Lord forever. He paid the price. Somebody's got to pay the bill. He has power over death. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. He was dead. Now he's alive 3 days later. He defeated man's greatest enemy. Do you know right now there are men and women all over this world who are making all sorts of bargains just so they can extend this physical life that we have. They're selling their very soul so they can have just a little more life. And here's Jesus who has purchased life forever for us. He has power over history. It's also what it means. History is organized around him. If you don't believe that, look at what history teaches. It's organized around the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. Everything. What would the fastest growing religion on the face of the planet, which is Islam right now, what would they say to you is their biggest enemy? When you get down to it, it's this message. You know, 2,000 Christians have been murdered by their faith, just by this one group. He has power over sickness. He's the great physician. Death could not hold him. If death couldn't hold him, what chance does sickness have? How many of you have experienced physical healing from the Lord, or you have seen physical healing? You've seen it actually? Put your hands up. Let me see. Okay. All I got to say is I'll join in that. I don't know what that song meant, but whoop, there it is. There it is. There's your evidence. You got it, and it demands a verdict. He has power over sickness. He has power and the ability to give life, to take a life that was headed nowhere, that was headed in the toilet, to change it and then become a new person. Look at the testimonials of people. Where would you be today without Jesus? So many of you. And through him, we get the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he said, I'm sending you another comforter. My spirit is going to come. The very spirit of Jesus who is here right now, that we feel, that we know his power is available. His power is available to empower us to live life. Third question. Why should we believe it? Well, let me give you these in machine gun fashion. Because he has a plan for your life. His plan is that you'll live. His love forced him out of heaven. He died alone on a cross just for you and for me. He arose on this resurrection day to prove his power, the power that he has, the power of life. He sent His Holy Spirit to live in us, to give us power to live. And He wants us to live that rich, full, meaningful life today and to be able to say along with Paul, for me to live, I must die. I've got to die to my agenda, to my way of salvation, to my way out, and choose His way. Fourth question. What is His plan for me? Well, number one, I can really have the life that Jesus offers. It's not just a dream that God loves me. It's reality. Have you felt the love of God? Have you seen the love of God? Is it palpable? Have you seen the hands and feet of Jesus working in your life? And this life Jesus offers is a free gift. You can have it immediately. I'm here to tell you today, I'm 6 decades old, and I have seen person after person after person changed by the power of God. Not to become some religious nut, some idiot, but whose lives were changed. Families put back together. Real things change in their lives. I can also have power over the stuff that defeats me. He paid the price for my sin. Those things that keep getting in the way. My circumstances, they're fully known to Him in every way. He knows everything about me. And He's willing to change my life and make me a new person if I let Him. All my relationships belong to Him. That change can come in my life immediately. I can begin living today. That's His plan for me. I don't have to sit by and watch idly as I watch my life, as I watch my family, as I watch my children, as I watch things just spin out of control and go to hell in a handbasket. I don't have to do that. I don't have to sit by and be a spectator. I can call upon the power of God, the risen Lord Jesus, who will change my life, who will answer my prayers, who will give me power to change. Man, I remember my, we're coming up on a year. We prayed for my uncle for years. I've shared this story with a number of you. We prayed for him for years about his relationship to the Lord, and his life just kept spiraling down. Finally, after my mom died last year, we found out my uncle has cancer. He's dying. We get on the phone. We try to talk to him. I got a preacher cousin up in Virginia. My uncle's down in Florida. He said, I'm gonna call him too. And we're going back and forth, and we're talking to him about his relationship to God. One of the times my uncle told me, he said, "Oh, me and the big man, we're okay together." No, they weren't. My uncle goes in the hospital for his cancer, but he had been having a problem with his leg, and the doctor who treated him was at that hospital that same day. My cousin had tried to call him. We were at camp last year when all this was happening. He tried to call him call my uncle several times. Couldn't get him. He didn't know he was in the hospital. And so there's my uncle laying in the hospital, And this doctor that treated him for something else is just walking down the hallway and just comes busting into his room. He says, "Mr. Floyd, I need to see you. I need to talk to you." He said, I've only done something like this one other time in my life. This doctor's my age. I've only done it one other time in my life." And he sits down on the bed by my uncle. And he says, Mr. Floyd, how's it with you and Jesus? Do you have real life? Are you ready to die? In the quietness of that moment, right there in that hospital room, Jesus did a drive-by. And my uncle received Jesus. My preacher cousin up in Virginia, when he told his wife the story, Janine, she said, well, said the Holy Spirit trumped you and Dusty again. You can begin living today. And see, the beauty of that life is we're going to live forever. We have happy reunion one day with all the loved ones who've gone before us who know Jesus. We're going to spend forever together. And Jesus' resurrection is the hope of that. That's why every funeral we do, every time we gather together, and it's one of those events. We did last week for Forrest Wall here, and we celebrated the fact that, hey, we just part for a little while because we've experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. But you know, oh, that's great information. Oh, Dusty, that's a neat story. But still possible not to meet Jesus. It's still possible not to experience Him. It's still possible not to receive the life He's given to others. It's still possible for us to screw it up. It's still possible to listen to that other voice, the voice that has three parts, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's still possible. So, what should I do? Final question. I can receive that power today, right now, the power of the resurrection that comes with the risen Lord Jesus. I can really have the life He offers. It's not just a dream that other people get. You can have it. Don't believe that lie that it's not for you. He loves you. He wants to come into your life, and you can have that life immediately. You can have power over all the stuff that defeats you every day. He died to pay the price for your sin. He'll be with you. You can begin living life today. Here's the first step. You don't have to understand everything. Realize that it's Jesus that's speaking to you. Now, it may sound like a southern drawl here from this tall, middle-aged, overweight man. But in the midst of that, Jesus is speaking to you. He's asking for a personal response from you. First, you got to admit that you need Him. If you don't think you need Him, well, nothing will happen. First, we've got to admit we have a need. Admit that there's something that's blocking us and God. And that which blocks us is sin. Sin separates us. Anything that's displeasing to God, where it is not part of His perfection. But see, He doesn't just hold that over your head and say, you're damned to hell. He did something about it. He didn't curse the darkness. He embraced the light and sent us the light of the world, which is Jesus. So you admit you sin. And then place your entire weight of your faith upon Him. Trust Him with your life. Ask Him to come into your life. Receive Him as the Lord of your life. And then thank Him for saving your life. I hadn't told this story in 20 years. I read this story when I was just a very, very young preacher. It's in the 1930s. There was a fellow who was he operated a drawbridge that was over a river, and the bridge was for the train that came by. His job was to let the water going traffic come through, but they would alert him, and he could also see down the way when the train was coming, but they would also alert him with a signal when to bring the bridge down. It was a nice summer day. He had brought his son to work with him that day, and they were out having lunch together. It was beautiful, having a sandwich. Their lunch was interrupted by a train signal. He immediately starts gathering up his lunch, and he is going back to the controls, and he looks around, and his son is gone. Nowhere to be found. He's looking for him. Train whistle again. It's coming for barreling down the tracks. He's there at controls, and he's looking for his son. He looks down. And caught in those tremendous gears, in the machinery of those gears, was his son. He couldn't get out. He was screaming. His dad saw the train coming. It wasn't a freight train. It was a passenger train. Over 100 people on this train. In seconds, that train would be there. He had a decision to make. True story. What would he do? What would you do? With tears flowing down his face, he brings the lever down, knowing what it would mean to his child. The bridge comes into place. And the train comes by. The control shack where he was there at the controls was at eye level for the windows of the train, and he looked in there as the people were going by. There were families in the dining car, there were children in there eating ice cream. They wondered, do they even realize what price has been paid for them today? Do we realize the passion of the Christ? Our Father, who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He gave his unique, one and only begotten Son so that you and me could have life forever. And that Son arose 3 days later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You too can live. Let's pray. Lord, on this resurrection day, we come before you and we open the altar. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Lord, some of us in this room have played around with this our entire lives. We know all about Jesus, but Lord, I'm praying today that we can personally know him and receive him this day. Lord, thank you. Now look this way, if you want. I'm going to be here. Dane, Rick going to be here. And if you'd like to come today and publicly say, I want Jesus in my life, we're here to receive you today. If you will write on that card, Pastor, I'm interested in talking some more about this with you. Put on the card. The Lord gave me two ears and one mouth so I can listen twice as much as I talk. I'd be glad, we would be glad to sit down with you, to pray with you, to bat it around with you, because you're worth it. We love you. Jesus has changed my life. He has changed my family. And I am praying that you'll let him change yours. The altar's open. Now I'm going to teach you something. Now some of you grew up with this tradition, but some of you, you don't know it. I'm going to say, he is risen, and what are you going to say? He is risen indeed. So let's, we want to shout it to the heavens, okay? We'll see if you can do better than those kindergartners, preschoolers out at Savannah Christian School. All right, let's see now. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I think you can do better. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
One more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's go from here today shouting that from the housetops. He is risen indeed. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day. The Lord bless you today. I want to meet all of some of you have brought guests with you. I sure want to meet them today before we leave. All right, Gary, sing us out.